Thank you. Before we have a look at the Bible passage for today, if I can just say it is good to be amongst you. And some people have been commenting on the fact that my accent isn't quite Kiwi. But probably what you don't know is that my colleague here, John, and I were born in the same city in Northern Ireland. And I don't know what's happened to his accent, but maybe we'll have some lessons. But, okay, so let's try and be serious. And we, the title of our meditation today is titled, Seeing the Salvation of the Lord. Seeing with our eyes the salvation of the Lord. The Bible passage is from Luke 2, verse 30, where a man called Simeon said to God, with my own eyes I have seen your salvation. Now think about that for a moment. With my own eyes I have seen your salvation. I wonder how many people walking along Mount Eden Road today would look at the church and would be able to say a similar thing. With my own eyes, I have seen your salvation. The first thing we notice about this Bible passage is that when we see God active in real life, salvation becomes much more plausible. And sometimes I think, you know, the church would be doing better in the 21st century if people could actually see something that would stand for the salvation of Christ. I think we all admire the Salvation Army. When there's trouble spots throughout the world, they're always there putting on their Salvation Army jackets, and everybody knows who they are. In fact, I was talking with John earlier on in the week, and on one occasion he was helping the Salvation Army out, but he had one of these Salvation Army jacket things on so that people could see and they'd know who he was. And I like the Salvation Army because what is their motto? Soap, soup, and salvation. You have the soap, you get people off the streets and you clean them up a little bit and so forth. And then there's the soup kitchens, and helping people out with their food supplies. And then there's salvation. And they've been going, I don't know, I suppose 150 years, and they've been very faithful to that motto. And they're not the least bit backward or afraid to come forward with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we admire them for that. I was telling the people at Epsom about a television program I saw some time ago. I think it was entitled A Postcard from Bombay by Clive James, and it was screened around the world. It showed the overcrowded city in India, Bombay, and this television presenter spoke about many things, including the sheer poverty that the street kids of the city, how they were able to live through that. And amongst the filth and poverty and abuse, these children were there, and the program showed two Christian missionaries who opened their church and opened their home one day a week to feed and to educate the children. And it was a physical demonstration of faith in action. It was Christianity that you could see with your own eyes, and it did those missionaries proud. This sort of demonstration of Christianity reminds us that the theory of religion is far less important than the practice of religion. You see, some Christians have a primary urge to intellectualize Christianity or to tease out the various theories of theology of the atonement, or to have an endless discussion about how the Bible came into being, or how long will it be before the second coming arrives. And all of these things have an interest, of course. But when one is hungry or homeless or lonely, this theoretical aspect of Christianity doesn't make much sense at all. Sometimes I think as Christians we are like those people that lived in the Middle Ages, and they had a serious discussion about how many angels you could put on the top of a pinhead. What a futile waste of discussion. It's true that we need to talk, we need to learn, we need to intellectualize to a degree. Yet more important than that, we need to act out our beliefs so that they can be demonstrated. And I suspect the world in the 21st century is not going to take too much notice of the church and of Christianity unless we can somehow or other demonstrate what the faith is about. Sometimes people will only listen when they can see some evidence of God at work. Surely one of the tasks that God has given to us is to evangelize, to tell others, to make disciples, but also a balanced message to care for the people through our actions, through our lives, so that people can see the genuineness of the Christian gospel by the way we live our Christianity when we go outside the church. It's not that people around us expect us to be perfect. No one's perfect. My wife's here. If you like, you can talk to her, and she will tell you, I'm not perfect, and neither are you. But it's right that the community has a right to expect that at the very least we are genuine and sincere and trying hard to put the faith into action. In one sense, you know, that's what Jesus tried to do with the disciples. He met them. He said, come with me, follow me, and I will show you. Well, he didn't actually put those words in there. But if you look at his story, that's what he was doing for 3 years. He was showing the disciples how to live the right way, following God. You see, when we show what the gospel is about, people are able to see if we are modeling, if we are demonstrating, if the gospel is real life situations, people can then turn towards God. Words are only words. It's the old saying, actions speak louder than words. Simeon, in our text, he says, with my own eyes I can see the salvation of the Lord. Some of you will know Bill and Dolores Winders. They conducted healing missions in New Zealand from time to time. And I think they're growing old and frail and maybe not able to come to New Zealand anymore. But the last time that Dolores Winders was here, her mission was, the theme of the mission was summed up in three words: healing, holiness, and wholeness. And when somebody asked her what she meant by holiness, this is what she said. She said, God wants us to become more like Jesus so that we can show Jesus to others. And as that happens, we also become holy. Showing Jesus to others. You may well ask, what does it mean to become more like Christ? And an answer the story of the scriptures tell us that if you want to be more like Christ, Jesus was a holy man. He was a good living man, a godly man. And even though Simeon lived most of his life before Christ, Simeon also was a devout and godly man. And surely in the 21st century for the church, we need something like that. We need a sense of honesty in everyday life, a sense of integrity. Thirdly, we note that Simeon was a person in whom the Holy Spirit resided. A person in whom the Holy Spirit resided. Verse 25 says, the Holy Spirit was with him. Now, as far as we know, Simeon wasn't baptized, and yet he had the Holy Spirit. And he lived before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost, and yet Simeon had the Holy Spirit. We need to be very careful how we place the Holy Spirit in God's scheme of things. In the Bible, it talks about the fact that we have the Holy Spirit when we come to Christ. And indeed, there's a passage in Romans that tells us that if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, then we're not really a Christian. Jesus certainly reinforced the teaching about the Holy Spirit. We notice it in John's Gospel when he said to his disciples, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will stay with you forever. The Holy Spirit will stay with you forever. Jesus also says in John 15, abide in me and I will abide in you, and so forth. Now, the teaching of the Holy Spirit is really quite complex. It's actually a study in itself. But the point that I want to make, if we want to see something of the life of Christ in the church and in the community in the 21st century, we need to believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is important, and very little happens in the church. You can have lots of activity in any church, but the spiritual ministry of the church, very little happens unless the Holy Spirit sanctions it and is honored and released and so forth. But I like the straightforwardness of the scripture. If you look at the life of Simeon, in the Bible passage we find that it says that the Holy Spirit was with him. Just a brief, stark statement, not very complicated. The Holy Spirit was with him. And the Spirit of God can be with us, just as Jesus has promised. And the way to get more of the Spirit is to let the Spirit of God have more of us. Very simple kind of concept. The way we have more of the Holy Spirit is to let God have more of us, not just a Sunday experience. I think my fourth point, we note in verse 27 that the Spirit led Simeon into the temple church. I kind of took notice of that. There is a tendency today, even amongst Christians, to downgrade the church, to think that the church is not really that important. It certainly was important in the Bible to Jesus, and every Sabbath he was in the synagogue church, didn't miss attending church. We've got into a dreadful habit in New Zealand. We sort of do our bit with God when we feel like it, but let me not get onto that. But led by the Spirit, Simeon went to the temple. And it was there in church that Simeon found Jesus. There in the temple, he found Christ the Savior. There in the house of worship, Simeon found the promised Messiah. And you may well ask, well, what difference does that make? And what does seeing the salvation of the Lord, what does it mean for us today? Well, of course, each person, it may have a slightly different meaning. As far as Simeon was concerned, saying the baby Jesus was a dream come true. For Simeon, it meant that he could rest in peace, knowing that Christ the Messiah could save Israel and save the world. When we come to communion in a few moments, each one of us needs to allow the living Spirit of Jesus to minister to our deepest needs and our longings. You see, Jesus is still the Savior of people and families and nations. And when Simeon said, "With my own eyes, I have seen your salvation," he was literally speaking the truth, because Jesus was physically there in front of him. And while the physical form of Christ has gone, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is still very much alive. And as we come to communion today, Christ can come and touch our lives afresh. We can have his forgiveness, a new touch from God to give us energy and strength and so forth. So what have we learnt from this Bible passage this morning? Three things very quickly. Firstly, to see Christ in Christians makes Christianity plausible. We should try and maybe memorize that. To see Christ in Christians makes Christianity plausible. And I think that's one of the reasons why the church is doing so badly in the 21st century. People somehow or other are not getting that message. They are not saying the gospel in the lives of God's people. Secondly, Christians are to be good living, decent, devout, honest, and godly people. Thirdly, like Simeon, the Holy Spirit needs to abide in our lives. We could take the opportunity this morning. I think that the sacrament of Holy Communion is so special because God comes again and again, and he will reach out and touch our lives with a new sense of forgiveness and blessing. It's really just a matter of being thankful and opening our lives for God to do whatever he wants to do. So let us have a prayer as we come to the sacrament of communion. Let us pray. Eternal God, we know that words are only words. We know, of course, they have a powerful meaning. But we pray that you will help us, that we might so live our lives that it's not so much what we say as what we do that will demonstrate your love for the city of Auckland. Be with us now, O God, as we come to communion. May you do your work. In Jesus' name, amen.